The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders. If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am Dave Smith. He is Robbie the Fire Bernstein. How are you, my brother? What's new?
Not a whole lot. We did an episode 2 days ago. I did Passover. That was
Did you have yourself a nice Seder?
I don't know. I don't think I have too many of them left in me.
Brutal.
There was a whole family table and I stood up at 12:30 p.m. and I said, "This has been fun, but I've had enough." And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. How'd that go over?
I think I've been doing comedy long enough that my timing was good, that everyone laughed and I got away with it.
All right. Very good. Very good. It is hilarious. It is. Listen, no disrespect to any of the great religions. But Passover Seders, like, I'm lucky now because it's all my sister's got a little kid and I got two little kids. So it's like no one's even trying to think that anyone's actually going to sit through a Passover Seder. But going, and I was always like, I was what's known as a Reformed Jew. So I didn't grow up in like a very religious, but it was like, oh, okay. We would do a Passover Seder. We would read a little bit and then do like the plagues and then get into food. But man, I went over to a couple friends who were like Orthodox Jews, Passover Seder. And it's the Jewiest thing you've ever been through in your life. Like, it's just, all right, I hope everybody's hungry. Now let's tell a story for 4 hours before anyone eats. Here, I'll put the food right in the middle so you can see it. And you're like literally sitting there with your mouth watering while people are going on and on about the story, which is like, it's a badass story. I'll say that. But it is... Let's just say, like, it doesn't really hold up to modern morality very well. There's just a lot of things in there where you're like, that was kind of wrong of them to do. Like, the culmination is that we killed all their babies. The firstborn son. That's the whole thing, is that you put lamb's blood on your door so God will pass over the Jewish homes and go kill the babies of the other side. Which is, you know,
but they
it's not a great message. Since October, it's been like, hey, could we keep this story under wraps for a little bit? Because it's not helping.
You know, we don't argue all that often, but I'll take the other side on this one.
Okay, go ahead.
In the story, it's not that they put the blood on their doors and then they went around town killing it. It was
God.
An angel. Yeah, so who are we? I mean,
fair enough. You're right. So that is true. The Jews, they did not do any of the killing.
Yeah, if God wants to come down to earth with an angel and take out people's firstborns, are we going to criticize God?
The Old Testament God did not play around. He really was a bad motherfucker. And then there's this other like post-Passover story. So when the Jews, they escape, God parts the Red Sea and the Jews go, they get out. But they, you know, it's not as nice as you would think. They got like 40 years of walking around on their hand. 40 years is a long walk. Like, you know, you ever gone on like a walk and like in the walk, like maybe you realize you've bit off a little more than you could chew. Like sometimes I used to do that in New York City a lot. Like I would just go for long walks. Like I'd be like, you know, when it was beautiful weather out, listen to music and just walk. I'd walk from the, you know, literally the, like almost all, you know, from like the 70s down to Houston Street or something, like just like a long walk. And then right around, I don't know, maybe like 10th Street, I'd be like, I don't want to be walking anymore. But I'm kind of past where you could even jump on a subway and it's you, maybe there's no taxis out or something like that. Anyway, 40 years is a lot beyond what you want to walk for. But so there's one part early when so Moses is leading them and they start getting a bit restless. You know, like they loved Moses at the beginning because he's the one who got him out of slavery. But now they're like, this is basically as bad as slavery. We're walking for years. This is terrible. And this is, I believe it's, I can't remember if it's before he comes down with the Ten Commandments or not. But at one point, they start like building little calves to worship. And they start worshiping these little calves, which is, seems weird to me. But this is a, Moses and God talk, and God's not too happy about this at all. And then God goes down and just kills all of them, like all the people who were worshiping a calf. Like he doesn't have the Jesus attitude of like, maybe let's talk to them about it and tell them why they shouldn't be doing that. He's hardcore. So anyway, that's the God that the Egyptians were dealing with, too. They had hardcore, old school God. It was really into like giving a whooping. Do with this information what you will. It's not me. Again, as Rob pointed out, and I'll cede the argument. You win the debate there. It wasn't the Jews. It was God. So he can do what he wants to do. Who are you to tell him to stop? Okay. Anyway, God can do these things, but people ought not. Maybe that's how I'll lead in. Oh, I should mention before we get into the show today, because I'm very interested to talk about some of these things, but I should mention that this weekend, April 26th and 27th, we got four stand-up comedy shows at the Funny Bone. Come on out to those. One of the best weekends we had last year, and I love that room. I'm very excited to be back, so please come see us out in St. Louis. And then we got Tacoma, Spokane, Stamford, Connecticut, Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., we got a stand-up show and a live Part of the Problem podcast, and then I will be speaking at the Libertarian National Convention. I hope to see a lot of my great libertarian friends out there. Then Atlantic City, Las Vegas, Wise Guys, first time we're doing that club, very excited for that. And then I return to headline a weekend at the Comedy Mothership, which I really cannot wait for. That's going to be a lot of fun. So come on out to all that stuff. Also Nashville Zanies after that this summer. A whole bunch of other things. Oh, I also should announce that in August, I will be returning to the Young Americans for Liberty, their big event in Orlando, Florida. I haven't done that in a couple of years. So I'm very excited to go back. I love Young Americans for Liberty. It's a great organization. Okay, looking forward to that. So recently, the other day, Tucker Carlson for the first time went on the Joe Rogan Experience, and I thought it was fantastic. I've been telling both of those guys for years that they gotta link up, and I'm really glad it finally happened. I just thought the conversation was amazing. I mean, obviously, I'm a little bit biased because I love both of those guys. But I really just thought it was like an amazing podcast, like one of my favorite podcasts I've ever listened to. I thought it was just really thoughtful and interesting and just it really, I don't know. It was just like almost a reminder of you have these two guys who it because we live in such a bizarre world. I'm like happen to know and I'm friends with both of them. And they're the two biggest people in media by far. And, you know, then their worlds collide and they're doing this show and it's just so obvious why they're bigger than everybody else. It's just like, this is just, it's so many light years beyond what anything in like anything in the corporate media for sure. Even and it's even light years beyond what almost everything in the alternative media is doing. And it's just it's kind of a reminder. Like I don't know. I just was watching that. And I was like, man, wouldn't it be crazy if like we were a nation of grownups and this is just what media looked like? Like deep, interesting conversations where, you know what I mean? And anyway, so I highly recommend the whole thing for those of you who haven't watched it. I'm sure a lot of you have. It's been setting the internet on fire. They didn't have to do it the day after my Zero Hedge debate. That seemed like a little bit of a dick move. Took a little steam away from me, but whatever. I'll get past it. I'll forgive those guys. But anyway, there were several parts of it that I thought were very interesting. The one clip that I think is going viral the most was actually to me the most interesting thing of everything that was said in the episode. And it's been amazing to watch the reaction to it. So I just let's start by just playing the clip. It's a short clip. And then we'll kind of get into to some of the reaction. We'll give our thoughts and then talk about the reaction.
Well, you could say the same about the atomic bomb, right?
Yes, you could.
And you could say that we have to develop it like Oppenheimer felt before the Nazis did.
I love that. How'd that work? How'd that work?
Well,
I love, by the way, that people on my side, I'll just admit it, on the right, you know, have spent the last 80 years defending dropping nuclear weapons on civilians. Like, are you joking?
Right.
That's just like prima facie evil.
Yeah.
If you can't, well, if we hadn't done that, then this, that, the other thing, that was actually a great savings. Like, no, it's wrong to drop nuclear weapons on people. And if you find yourself arguing that it's a good thing to drop nuclear weapons on people, then you are evil. Like it's not a tough one, right? Is that a hard call for you? It's not a hard call for me. So with that in mind, like, why would you want nuclear weapons? It's like just a mindless, childish sort of intellectual exercise to justify like, oh no, it's really good because someone else will get it. How about no? How about like spending all of your effort to prevent this from happening? Would you kill baby Hitler, you know, famously?
Right.
So I don't know why we're sitting back and allowing this to happen if we really believe it will extinguish the human race or enslave the human race. Like, how can that be good?
Okay, so a short clip there. By the way, at the end, what he's referring to is AI at the end. But leaving that part aside, just talking about the nuking of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I will say there's I've been thinking about this. Literally, I was thinking about this after the debate that I did for Zero Hedge, and just when thinking about the Israel's war in Gaza, and it's. It really is amazing. Like, look, if you think about it like this, right? Like all through human history, there's been slavery and genocides and, you know, just the atrocities. And for every single one of them, there have been people who have rationalized justifications for them. Like that, like human beings have an incredible ability to perform mental gymnastics to justify what they're doing. And every single one of these, of the atrocities that have been committed in human history, they all have this. The story is never like, if he were alive and you could interview Adolf Hitler about why he carried out the Holocaust, his answer wouldn't be, oh, well, I'm evil. And so I wanted to do evil things. And kill it. The answer would have been about how the Jews were behind communism and international banking capitalism, and they were trying to ruin the German people. You know what I'm saying? Like, there always would have been some justification. And still, I mean, look, you see this all the time with these things where you're just like, you know, like October 7th happened in October. It's April. This war has been going on this whole time, and you could see a video of a baby like suffocating to death under a blown up building. And there are people who will sit there and go, like, it's right in front of your face. This is so evil. How can you do this? And there are people who will rationalize away an excuse for it. And look, I mean, a lot of people, I think, don't know this because it's like there's kind of like the pop historical narrative about World War II and it's told in a way to justify everything. And so it's kind of like, well, there was this race to get the nuclear bomb and either we were going to get it or Hitler was going to get it. And Hitler obviously is so clearly the most evil person ever exists that if he got it, then the whole world would be enslaved by Nazis. And so, yeah, we had to get it and use it first in order to end the war. But that's just not what happened. It's like objectively not what happened. The race between Hitler and America had nothing to do with anything. Adolf Hitler was dead before we dropped the bombs. The war in Europe was over. We had defeated the Nazis. Like that just that objectively, historically, that had nothing to do with the decision to drop nuclear weapons. And it also had nothing to do with us defeating the Nazis. Like that's just something that people use to frame it in a way so you kind of don't look at the real truth of what we did. And when Tucker says that for 80 years, right-wingers have been pretending that this was like some great thing or something justified, he's right about that. But it wasn't true at the time. It wasn't true at the time. At the time, there were Dwight Eisenhower, five-star general, Dwight Eisenhower. I think there's only been, I think, four or five five-star generals in the history of the United States of America. Eisenhower, the guy who was running the war and then went on to be president of the United States of America after Truman, he was completely against it. And he said it was unnecessary. Japan was about to negotiate with us. Like we were in the process of negotiating their surrender. And then we just dropped two nukes. And Eisenhower was like, he thought it was horrible because he was like, first off, it's not, we don't need to do it. And second of all, do we really want to go down as like the first ones to ever use these horrible weapons on civilian populations? So anyway, it's interesting to hear someone like Tucker just like kind of just make this very simple comment that there's this event that is so on its face evil, and yet somehow it's like controversial to oppose it. I don't know. Any thoughts you have just on the clip before we get to the reactions from people?
I can't take the counter argument on this, that it was good to bomb civilians. So especially with the historical context he threw on it of Eisenhower saying that it wasn't even necessary. So yeah, I'm not coming through to endorse killing civilians.
You're not going to devil's advocate this one. It would be little. There's probably never been a more appropriate usage of the term devil's advocate than to say like, well, let me for the mental exercise, let me take on why slaughtering children is okay. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Oxygen Health Systems. Jumpstart your health and wellness with a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. The benefits include a boost in energy levels, decreased inflammation, anti-aging benefits, improved memory and overall brain function, and it increases melatonin for better sleep. Owning a home hyperbaric chamber from Oxygen Health Systems is now within your reach, and Oxygen Health Systems chambers integrate progressively advanced technology with amazing new features, and it fits comfortably in your home. The LuxAir Hyperbaric Chamber from Oxygen Health Systems is unique in the industry and considered the Tesla of portable hyperbaric chambers. So take advantage right now of the $500 savings on the LuxAir Hyperbaric Chamber today at OxygenHealthSystems.com. Use the coupon code PROBLEM at checkout for those savings. OxygenHealthSystems.com, coupon code PROBLEM at checkout. All right, let's get back into the show. You know, and Tucker was kind of making like a broader spiritual point at one time that like it really did change the soul of our country after we did that. Like there is something about setting that precedent that you could do something so evil. And what does that do going forward? And of course, you know, going forward, America has been the most war hungry country in the world.
I mean, this is some stupid hippie shit that's about to come out of my mouth. But can you imagine if instead of dropping it, we said, look, we just found unlimited energy and we don't have to fight with each other anymore. But instead, what do? We dropped it on them. I had a historian, Gary Richide, came on my show and said that we literally just sent nukes over to Russia, over the North Pole in a secret mission to give them the technology.
Really?
He claimed that. I don't know. I don't know how true that is.
But I've never heard that before.
That was his claim, that we literally just sent it right over to Stalin after World War II. We then moved on to have the Cold War. they had their little disaster in Chernobyl, and then we shelved what seems to be a pretty great technology.
Yeah, it's interesting. Aside from that bit, I've never heard the bit about us sneaking them the nukes before. I'll have to look into that. Anyway, this, and I got to say, there were a couple moments in this conversation where Tucker, I don't believe intentionally, I think he was just speaking from the heart, but he in effect kind of trolled or like trapped a bunch of right wingers into art. So first here, he's got them arguing how great it is to nuke cities, which is like, you know, if you're going to have an argument, that's a pretty sound one to pick. And the other thing was he was talking about, he went off at one point about how there's kind of like, there's spiritual forces that act on man, and that there are kind of forces of good and forces of evil that act on men. And that basically this has been the belief of every society throughout history until very recently. That basically all of human beings had always believed this, and that he believes this. And he actually had right wingers picking on him for saying this, which is just so funny that it's like, oh, so are you just dropping the pretense of being religious in any sense of the word? It's just like, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, it was just so interesting to see like Daily Wire type supporters, you know what I mean? Being like trying to dunk on him for essentially believing what any religious person would believe. Something I believe as well. But anyway, back to this clip. So there was a lot of reaction to it. And the one that I saw that was going around, getting a lot of attention and getting quite a ratio on Twitter, was from Jeremy Boring, who... I swear, I do think that's how you pronounce his last name. He's the head of the Daily Wire. He co-founded it with Ben Shapiro. And obviously, Ben Shapiro and Tucker Carlson have been beefing for a while now. And so this was clearly a veiled comment about Tucker. Jeremy Boring, he writes, people who deny the moon landing or suggest America is evil for its use of atomic weapons against Imperial Japan, or who say that George W. Bush was behind 9/11, actually hate this country. And that was his tweet. Now, I don't remember them talking about the moon landing at all. That might have been someone else, but they didn't. And of course, nobody said George W. Bush was behind 9/11, but they were questioning how, you know, Building 7 falling just like the towers sure does seem strange and things like... What would be, I think, in the real world, just like a fairly normal conversation. You know, there's always been one of the things that's been so interesting to me about the revolution that we've been living in. And me and you, Rob, like we're kind of in these two fields. We're in the field of stand-up comedy, and we're in the field of talking about the news on the internet. And both of these fields, like we've lived through a revolution in them. And I don't think that's overstating it at all. Like there's it's just unbelievable. I had just the other day, someone reached out to me about a writing gig for a TV show. And they were like, oh, this TV show is doing this thing, and they want you to be one of the writers. And I remember before there was the revolution in this world, that used to be one of the things where people were like, oh, if you get that, that's like a good gig. Like, that's like, you know what I mean? You get like a good money and like benefits and, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And I mean, I was just almost laughing. Like it was a show, a 5-day a week show. So like they were coming to me like, we want you to have a job. Be a full-time employee of someone else. And it was just like, oh, no, 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 I would never. It just sounds like a nightmare. Like the whole thing is I'm a gangster. I don't work for anybody else. I do what I want to do. And that's that. And I make a lot more money than what they're offering me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it was like a no brainer. Like, oh, you know, you're insane. I would never think about doing this. But anyway, there's just, when me and you first started stand-up comedy, the whole thing was you got to get into the clubs so that you can get, you know, get to the auditions for festivals, so you can get management, so you can get a late night, so you can get a Comedy Central half hour special. Literally none of this even, I mean, these things still exist, but they have no value anymore. Nobody cares. It's completely meaningless. Tim Dillon and Shane Gillis have never done late night comedy sets.
Yeah, that's wild.
I don't think either of them are like, man, I would just love to get Conan. You know what I mean? Or I guess Conan's not on anymore, but like it wouldn't even be. And if you were to come to one of them and be like, hey, we'd love for you to come do the Tonight Show, it'd probably be like, it's like a punishment. What? I got to like figure out 5 clean minutes. I can't just say the joke the way I want to say the joke. They could literally just record themselves at their show tonight, put it on their YouTube channel, put it on their Twitter, and get more views than the Tonight Show gets. Like, they have none of the chips anymore. The internet and social media blew this whole thing up, where now we're going directly to the fans. We don't need you. Why the hell would I ever be like, hey, okay, so everybody listening to this show right now, so I got this shit I want to say to you, but you know what would be cool? Let's get a corporation in the middle of this, you know? Like a big giant multinational corporation. Let's get that, like a whole bunch of suits involved. And then they'll give me feedback on what I'm allowed to say. Like, it's just, it's insane. Anyway, the world of talking about current events and politics and stuff has been revolutionized in exactly the same way. And anyway, one of the major things that I've noticed that's just so different is that there was kind of this, there was this very artificial code of conduct in the corporate media world that was stupid and artificial. And we don't have that over here in our world. Like, we all decided to just stop. There's no need. If you're going to read the news, you don't have to go, a breaking story coming out of the Chris, over to you. You know, like, you just don't have to do that. We could just talk like people. And you don't have to have this kind of like uptight, pretentious air where you pretend to be offended over things that you're not really offended over. You know, I remember I had a bit about this on my first comedy special, Libertas. But I remember, you know, because I've done a lot of shows on cable news. And I started doing the shows on cable news before this revolution had really happened. And at the time it was like, oh, well, this is a way you can start to build a career or whatever. And then it just kind of became a thing where it's like, I don't know, I do them less and less, and I'll kind of pick my spots. If there's a huge audience and an interesting thing, maybe I'll go do it, but there's no, otherwise kind of a waste of time. I'd rather have a longer conversation for a lot more with a lot more viewers on it, you know, which is what you get on these podcasts. But I remember the joke that I had on Libertas was about when Donald Trump grabbed him by the pussy tape came out, and I had been around a lot of these corporate news people. I don't remember. I think this was before I was over at CNN, so it's probably like Fox News types, and seeing a lot of the reaction to this and how phony it was. It just, like, I knew these people. I don't even mean just like when I was on the shows with them, but like when I see them on other shows, it's like, you know how it is over there, Rob, with like these things, when you're on these panels, it's like, there's only so many people and they all come through and they do every panel. And when you're doing Kennedy twice a week and Red Eye twice a week for years, you've kind of done shows with all of them, and everyone would always go out drinking after the shows and stuff. So like, I know them. I've hung out with a lot of these people, and it's just watch them all come in and put on this act about like how appalling it is. And of course there's no excuse for ever talking like that. And it's like, understand, I had beers with this guy. You know what I mean? Like, I know how he talks. I know what he's talking. And by the way, he's being completely full of shit, just totally full of shit. And you don't have that in the internet podcast world. Like, you just don't, I don't know, you listen to like podcasts and like people curse. It's like, I don't know, why not? It's This is how we talk. All those guys curse too. Let me tell you something. In that Fox News building, there's a whole lot of people who curse and use cocaine and, you know, fucking, you know, cheat on their wives and like all types of shit. It's not like they're like these clean cut people, but they all act like they are when the cameras come on. And that's something that we just kind of shed in the podcast world. Like, we don't have to pretend any of that. You know, we can just be real. Anyway, I find it interesting that Jeremy, the head of the Daily Wire here, is almost like using those type of tactics. Like the quote that I had in my joke in Libertas was a real quote. It was something that Jake Tapper said. You know, he looks into the camera very sincerely. And he goes, it was something along the lines of, he said, he was, you know, I was in a fraternity for all 4 years of college and I played sports all 4 years. I've been in a lot of locker rooms and I've never heard men talk like that. And it was just such a like, what are you like, are you fucking liar? Like, what do you even, what is this? Like, what is that? But that's the game.
They might not have been as funny and clever as Trump, but we all got filthy mouths.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you were in a fraternity and played sports and were in locker rooms and never heard, you know, guys saying things about women's genitalia or doing things to them. I mean, that's simply not how men behave. It's just
what network was Matt Lauer at?
He was NBC. Same, so
is that the same as Jake Tapper? Who did Jake Tapper have that went down to Me Too?
Well,
Charlie Rose, wasn't he flashing his wiener at bitches?
I'm sure there were some people in close vicinity to Jake Tapper who got Me Too'd. But it's just, it's stuff like that. And I kind of just felt like that's what Jeremy Boeing is doing here. He goes, anyone who questions the moon landing or questions the way Building 7 falls or questions the atomic bombing of cities, you just hate America. Like, it's trying to shame you. Whereas, you know, first of all, the point I'm making is that it's like 2 points. Number one is like, but that's how regular people talk. Like, it's not as if like if the question of 9/11 ever came up over some beers with your friends, everyone would be like, well, we know we all have to trust the government. I mean, the official narrative is obviously the exact right one. You know what I mean? And like, there's just, and it's almost like they're trying to shame you and pretend. But the second point I'm making is that I know those people, and those people aren't like that either. Those people, when we would go to a, because I'm me, I would constantly be talking about like conspiracies and shit like that with these guys. And I'd constantly be like, I mean, you know, like the CIA killed Kennedy, right? And like, you know that, like, you know that, like, about Operation Northwood, right? Like, you know that they were gonna like create a false flag so we could invade Cuba, and that it was signed off by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And that only, it went all the way up to Kennedy, and he's the one who turned it down. Like, you know that, right? It's all declassified. And they do. Like, not all of them, but like they do know a lot of that stuff, some of them. And so anyway, it's just like they're not, this isn't real. It's all phony. But then of course it's also, and I do, by the way, I see this as something truly positive, just to be clear. But it's like they're using these methods to control people that are so transparently stupid that they can't possibly work. And the Daily Wire, man, has just been, I mean, totally exposed. And like in a way that would never have happened before this revolution. I mean, how much they've been exposed since October and their positions on Israel. It's like back in the George W. Bush years, if Fox News wanted to just have wall-to-wall coverage of promoting this war, which they did, well, that was it. You know, that's conservative media. Conservative media says we got to go to war in Iraq and we have to overthrow the Taliban in Afghanistan. That's the position. And any of these other voices of like really brilliant conservatives who were against this stuff, they were relegated to like writing in some newsletter that, you know, a few thousand people read. And it just wasn't this. But today, it's totally different. And so now people, almost everybody who's interested in the question is not only hearing the Daily Wire's point of view, they are also hearing Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan's point of view, or and lots of other people, you know? And so anyway, Once you have that ability where you can hear the other side, I just think about this argument that he's making, if you can call it an argument. He's saying that if you oppose dropping nukes on cities, then you hate this country. That's explicitly what he's saying. If you, so but again, according to Jeremy Boring, and I'm not exaggerating, this is like, there's no leap here, okay? This is like very tight logic. He says very clearly that if you think America is evil for its use of atomic weapons against Imperial Japan, you hate this country. So according to Jeremy Boring, Dwight Eisenhower hated this country. The five-star general who led us to victory in World War II, who later served as president of the United States of America, hated this country. Come on, how stupid is that? What does hate this country even mean? So, like, if I oppose nuking cities in Japan, then what exactly do I hate? Like, the cities in my country, the people, my grandma? Like, what exactly? I hate them all. I just hate everything because I think there's a moral issue with evaporating hundreds of thousands of people. I think about this. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. Just got even better. Of course, we're talking about Backscape, who just launched their 2.0 friction fit handle, making the best back shaver on the market even better. Listen, guys, if you got a hairy back and you don't like it, you don't have to suffer and just be embarrassed when you take a shirt off, and you don't have to like make your girlfriend or your wife get back there and shave your back. No matter how much she loves you, she doesn't want to do that. That's not right to do it to her. You got to just get Backscape, make your life a lot easier, take care of it yourself. Backscape.com, head over there and use the promo code PROBLEM10 for 10% off your first order on any of the kits on their website. If you're not completely sold yet, Backscape is so confident in the new friction fit handle and titanium shave heads that they'll offer your money back if you're not satisfied. One more time, Backscape.com, promo code PROBLEM10 for 10% off your first order. All right, let's get back into the show. One of the other things that I think is very interesting that Tucker revealed, which I don't know if he, you know, I don't know if maybe he realized he would reveal this or not. I know I've been cunning enough that I've certainly taken positions that I believe, but that I knew would get a reaction that would expose something that I wanted to expose. So I don't know if he was doing that or not. But one of the things that he did, whether he meant to or not, he did expose, is something that I've talked about many times before. But it's kind of like the mythology surrounding World War II and how radioactive that still is today. And you can learn a lot. And this is the way I've heard Tucker Carlson say this before. I think I may have repeated this on the show because it's one of my favorite things that he's ever said. But sometimes you can ask a question or take a position that makes everybody freak out around you. Like they freak out that you took it. One of the examples I think of is actually when you were on, what's the podcast called with Corinne Fisher's show? And you were arguing without a country when you were arguing about the vaccine, and you're doing this in front of a live audience of a bunch of liberals, and you can just watch everyone freaking out that you're taking this position. And the what Tucker Carlson said is he compared it to an infection, and he goes like, well, something's infected here. And how do you know that? Because you press on it and you recoil. You know, and like that's how you know, oh, there's something wrong here. Like there's an infection. I got to get this cleared up. And there is something to like, look, any question you ask or any position you take, when there's that type of reaction, that already tells you something. Like there's already information in the fact that like you're all, it's not that they were all like competing over each other to shout out the obvious counter to your argument. Is that they don't have a counter to your argument, and they just know you're not allowed to say this. dude. You know, because now, right now, you could go back to that same group and say the same thing, and it wouldn't have that reaction. Because we're just not in, we're not infected with the vaccine thing at the moment. The infection is past. You know, you're allowed to say these things now. You're allowed to say the lab leak theory on television. But there was a time when there was an infection and everyone would have freaked out. And there is something that, now that doesn't, just to be clear, that doesn't mean that your position that you're taking is correct because everyone reacts that way. But it does mean something. It does mean something. And whenever, you know, people, so for example, right, if you if you deny the Holocaust, that has that response. There, everybody freaks out and loses their mind, right? Now, that does not mean the Holocaust didn't happen, okay? I'm not saying that. The Holocaust did happen, but my point is that everyone freaking out still tells you something. Because if you were to deny the Armenian genocide, or to deny Stalin's genocide in Ukraine, or to deny Mao Zedong's genocide, it just doesn't have that same reaction. It just doesn't. Now, you'd be wrong to deny any of them. All of these genocides happened. But there's a reason why only one of them leads to this freak out. Do you get the point that I'm making? And so, and what is the reason? It's the same reason that that Tucker Carlson is getting people freaking out on him for saying it was evil to drop nukes on cities. What it really is that you're not allowed to question the narrative around World War II, because that's the origin story of the American Empire. And that is the story that allows us to claim to be moral enough that we get to be the world empire. We kind of get to do this because we're the ones who beat the Nazis and we're the ones who saved the world from themselves. And the truth is that the real story is so much darker than that, you know. And however bad the Nazis were, however bad the Imperial Japanese were, and they, believe me, those, it helps with the narrative that those two nation states really played the role well. If you were looking for evil villains, both of them were excellent excellent contenders for the role. However, what makes things a lot more complicated than that is that it's like, oh, on the other side of that, you don't just have a team of superheroes. You have Joseph Stalin. You have the British Empire. You have, between the British Empire and the Soviet Union, I mean, they're two of the most oppressive forces in the world. And then, of course, you have the Americans. And then you have the nuking of Japan, the firebombings of Tokyo, Dresden, and a whole lot of innocent people just slaughtered. The thing is this, right? World War II was objectively the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of the world. That's what it really was. And, you know, it's the biggest mass slaughter campaign in human history. More people died than in any other war. And, you know, if you just look at it that way and see it for what it is, you're more likely to go down the road of saying, oh my God, how did we not do everything we possibly could have done to make sure that didn't happen? And the lesson going forward would be, let's make sure we do everything we can so we never fight a world war again. Does anyone think we're doing that? Does anyone think that the ruling class is currently making sure we do everything to avoid another world war? It seems to me like they're doing everything they can to try to push one, or maybe not everything, but being pretty reckless about it. And so anyway, this is the reason for the infection. And this is the reason why people are recoiling at Tucker Carlson suggesting that dropping the nukes was evil. Because as soon as you accept that, then you go, oh, okay, so America just became the world empire because they got to this awful bomb quicker that they were willing to use on innocent civilians. And then they've been the most war-hungry country in the world ever since. You know, when I was doing the Dennis Prager debate for Zero Hedge, I lost count of how many times he brought up World War II. Because this is always what they do. And he's just like a tired old neocon. So all he had was like their same old arguments. Same old arguments. Whenever you want a new war, you always compare them to the Nazis. And you always talk about the lessons we learned from the Nazis. And of course, the lessons are always the most simplistic, you know, shallow lessons ever. Appeasement doesn't work. We must totally slaughter the civilian population, you know. But and it's like, first of all, these aren't even the lessons of World War II. But, you know, I think I mentioned in my closing remark there, you know, it's like, oh, okay, we're all supposed to draw these lessons of World War II. And I wasn't even going to get into the World War II debate there because that's just too radioactive. And I'm not going to do it unless I have time to actually explain myself. But it's like, oh, yeah, the lessons of World War II. Let's just say those were the lessons of World War II. Why are we only drawing lessons from World War II? Why not from Vietnam or Korea or Iraq or Afghanistan or Libya or Somalia or Yemen or Ukraine? You know what I mean? Like, why? How about all of those lessons where we just had a disastrous foreign policy that got hundreds of thousands, millions of people killed? We can't talk about those lessons. And so anyway, I think that it's the entire kind of like Pax Americana relies heavily on this World War II narrative. And that is the reason why any type of revisionist history about World War II is so radioactive. I mean, look, Pat Buchanan's book, which I really highly recommend, is so good. It's called Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War. And the Unnecessary War, if you look in the title, is in quotes. Like, because it's not Pat Buchanan saying it. That's what Winston Churchill said about the war after the war was over. That, like, we could have just avoided this whole thing. We never even needed to do this. There were so many off-ramps. And that's the amazing thing is, like, if you read Pat Buchanan's book, he goes through the history of it, and it's incredibly well-sourced. And, like, Pat Buchanan is, like, a brilliant scholar. And it's just like the whole thing is like there was an off-ramp here, there was an off-ramp here, there was an off-ramp here, but everyone kept escalating, 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 and it finally leads into this world war, which is the worst thing that's ever happened. And, like, of course that's the real history, Rob, because isn't that always the real history? Like, is there any one of these wars that we cover so regularly where there weren't all of these off-ramps before we got to this point? The wars never start with just like one guy talks shit and then everyone's dropping bombs. You know what I mean? Like, it's always a series of escalations. Even remember, as we were just talking about fairly recently, that late last year at some point when the head of NATO came out and admitted that I've been right about everything I was saying on Rogan's podcast and on this podcast. And he goes, oh yeah, Vladimir Putin told us he wouldn't invade Ukraine if we would just promise never to bring him into NATO and put it in writing. But we said, no, screw you, man. And so he invaded Ukraine. It's like, oh, there was an off-ramp. There was an off-ramp right there. Hundreds of thousands of people don't die if you just took that off-ramp. You know what I mean? And what would it have cost us? Ukrainian entry into NATO? Like, oh my God, how did you? And so if you were ever retelling the history of this, I genuinely don't. You could have a lot of different feelings about Russia, about Ukraine, about Zelensky, about Putin. I don't understand how anyone who's not stupid or evil wouldn't say, if you were writing the history of this, go, I wish we had taken that off ramp. Like, it's better for everyone. If you're just an I love Ukraine guy, it's obviously so much better for them. They don't get invaded then. You know what I mean? Like, it's and all their young boys don't get slaughtered. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, Proton VPN. Proton created Proton VPN to further protect the journalists, activists, and everyday citizens who use Proton Mail. Proton VPN breaks down the barriers of internet censorship, allowing you to access restricted online content. Proton's secure VPN sends your internet traffic through an encrypted VPN tunnel to keep your browsing data data safe, even over public or untrusted internet connections. As a Swiss VPN provider, Proton does not log user data or share data with third parties. Their anonymous VPN service keeps your browsing history private and enables an internet without surveillance. Proton VPN is available on all your devices, including PCs, Macs, smartphones, and even routers. A secure internet connection you can trust is essential to maintaining your privacy on your laptop at home, your mobile device on the road, or your workstation at the office. To check out an exclusive and limited time offer, go to protonvpn.com/Dave Smith. That's protonvpn.com/Dave Smith. This is a limited time offer, so go check it out today. One more time, protonvpn.com/Dave Smith. All right, let's get back into the show. And so anyway, so Pat Buchanan's argument in the book is basically like there were all of these off-ramps and everybody, instead of taking them, decided to escalate. And then his ultimate argument is that, you know, the Holocaust happened between 1941 and 1945 after the war had started. And he's like, they were a war crime. And he's like, if you had avoided the war, you would have avoided the war crime. And so basically his argument is if there's no war, there's no Holocaust. And if anyone had taken any of these off ramps, you could have avoided the Holocaust, not to mention the tens and tens of millions of people who died in the war. And like, whether you completely agree with his thesis or not, I would recommend everybody read the book because it's just full of really good history that nobody ever talks about. But so again, it's not, Pat Buchanan was not denying any of the Nazis' crimes. He was just saying, look, this is the history and we would have been way better off. Like everyone lost fighting this war. We would have been way better off not to. And for that, he was totally demonized for making this, for writing this book. And like, that's kind of my point, that you're not allowed to talk about what is objectively the worst thing that ever happened with any amount of thought. If you're going to talk about World War II, here's what you can say. The Nazis were evil. Dropping nukes on cities was the right thing to do. Because if we hadn't have done that, there's this unfalsifiable counterfactual that's worse than doing that, which is like always what the mental gymnastics are, right? It's always, even right now, oh, Israel's got to completely flatten Gaza because if they don't, there'll be 1,000 October 7th and then blah, 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 right? I know this looks so horrible, but not doing this is really way more horrible. And this relies on me just asserting a counterfactual with no evidence. You know, if we don't fund the war in Ukraine, then Putin takes Poland. And then after Poland, he's moving right into Ireland and then, you know, Kansas City or something. Like that's, it's always relies on this stuff. And you can say that. You can say all of that. You can repeat all day long that appeasement didn't work. And that's the lesson of World War II. Appeasement didn't work. But you're never allowed to take the lesson that aggression didn't work, that war guarantees didn't work, that, you know, that world wars don't work. That actually a world war, if you're doing one of those like a maze or like an invent a story type thing where you choose the way your character's going, if it ends in world war, you did it wrong. That's the worst outcome, actually, is a world war that's the biggest bloodbath in human history. So anyway, that's why I thought the Tucker clip was so interesting and why it like got such a choir of screeches as a response to it.
Yeah, you can correct.
You're a big supporter of World War II. What do you have to say?
You can correct Jeremy's tweet to, I guess you hate American Empire. And in terms of loving the country, but criticizing it, I mean, I don't have kids. This example doesn't really work for kids, but you definitely have friends that, fucked up along the way. Maybe they aren't even your friends anymore, but you could see all the potential there. And our country is that way. I love the country. It's like, can't we just get rid of the Federal Reserve and the not freedom of speech and fighting all these wars and get back to the just freedom part and being awesome? We could still do it.
Yeah, well, you know, the real problem, dude, is that everybody else is stupid and we're libertarians. And it really is just, it's just like, because they don't even, it's like, look, like what we do on this show for the most part is talk about the things that are going on in the world and the things that we think matter and the things that we're critical of. But we're fortunate because we kind of have a theory that guides us through that. And the theory is basically of individual liberty and, you know, like the whole libertarian deal. And so many other people just don't have anything. Like, they don't have any theory that guides them. So they're just on a side and they don't even really know how they wound up on that side, but they're going to argue for that side as best they can. But like, it's like they don't even think through like what they're saying is literally on the level. If I just went, you know, Rob, I hate your uncle because I think he's a bad guy and I think he lies and he's disrespectful to people. And I just really do not like your uncle. And then you responded and you went, so you hate my entire family? And I'd be like, no, I actually think your mother is lovely and I really love your sister and I really love, but no, it's just this uncle of yours, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, it's that. So you're telling me if I hate the military industrial complex and the Federal Reserve, that also means I hate my grandma and the mountains and you know what I mean? A rancher in Montana. Like, why? None of this follows. It's all collectivist nonsense. Like, no, like there's a lot of really great things about this country. And there's a lot of really great people in this country. And I love all of them. And particularly even in the realm of politics, I love that our country is like the only country that was founded explicitly on our principles. You know, like that's kind of amazing. And like, I think the Declaration of Independence, like it's such a beautiful like birth to a country to say, here's the deal. This is why we're forming this country, because man has rights and those rights come from God. And governments, if they're abusing those rights, we have every right to overthrow them and institute a new one. You know, like I think that's so beautiful. But I also think dropping nukes on cities are really evil. And I promise you, there's no contradiction between any of that. And it's really, really stupid to imply that there is.
I can't believe the Daily Wire has an audience that sees a tweet like that and isn't offended or bothered by it. It just,
yeah.
How do they still have, they got COVID totally wrong, right? Oh, yeah.
But absolutely terrible. Yeah,
they got COVID wrong. Now they're advocating for the wars. Now they tell you if you have an open mind on these topics, you're an evil person. How the hell do these guys have so much money?
It is, you know, look, I think there's something to like, look, like there's beauty to the new system where, you know, like I was talking about before, the revolution and this internet system. I do think that there's, and I don't exactly understand it, but there's, when there's big money behind you, or if you have, say, like some powerful friends at YouTube, you know, when you start getting pushed by that algorithm, you're going to generate a very big audience very quickly. And there's no question that there are some shows that from very early on were definitely pushed by the algorithm. You know, Ben Shapiro was recommended to me every day on YouTube for years and years and years. And so I don't exactly understand. I don't know exactly, but I think there's something to that. But to your point, the tweet that Jeremy sent, it got 7,800 likes on it. You know, now it says it has 5.8 million views. So I guess that's not a great return on yours, but it is kind of wild that almost 8,000 people like see that tweet and go, yeah, that's right. You don't want to nuke cities. You hate this country. You know, I will say, if you want a little bit of a white pill, my quote tweet on it got 10,000 likes. So, hey, got a little bit more than him, and he's got more followers than me too. But yeah, I was just saying how dumb this shit is. I said the Daily Wire head with a dumber, more dishonest take than anything I've ever heard out of the woke left. Evidently, if you think the government might lie to its people or question the morality of leaving little children with their skin falling off, that means you hate your country. So there you go.
All right. Maybe you'll make enough noise. You get to debate Ben Shapiro. Be like Highlander. You take out all these old school radio legends.
I would be so down to do that. I would do it in a second. I don't think that one's ever going to happen. But
sound
I was
like you're a college kid.
Well, I should. Maybe I could identify as a 17-year-old.
Yeah, maybe we can do him dirty where he sets something up at a college and then you end up being the college kid.
And then they go, let me ask a question. And then they just set up a seat next to him. And I just come up and we debate for 2 hours. But I was, like I said in the last episode, I was kind of, I was shocked at how weak Prager was. And just how, you know, so I just don't think there's much of an argument that he would be able to put up. I mean, imagine like arguing this, you know what I mean? Like, how would you ever get this off when there's pushback there? It's just, it's too stupid. All right. Anyway, St. Louis this weekend, come out and see us, comicdavesmith.com. The Summer Porch Tour is coming soon. Go to robbythefire.com for that. That's Rob's solo tour. He goes all around the country. It's amazing. And of course, listen to Run Your Mouth, Rob's other fantastic podcast. And that's it for today. Catch you guys next time.
Mother's Day in Brooklyn. The ticket's already up on the Old Man Hustle website. Throwing up some friends. Going to be a fun show. 6 p.m. You can come after your family barbecue or before your family dinner. Come hang.
Hell yeah. All right. Catch you guys next time. Peace.